Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirkham with Looking Up. A few minutes in the middle of the week to think about astronomical things. Well, I'm here in Perth, Australia, with Rajan Chetri, who is a radio astronomer. And he's researching something very interesting, which I'd never heard about. So probably you listeners haven't heard about it either. It's called scintillation, and in particular interplanetary scintillation, just the kind of thing for you to drop into a dinner party conversation. So good afternoon, Rajan.
Good afternoon.
Now, please tell us something about this scintillation. What is it, and why is it so special?
Scintillation is basically twinkling, and interplanetary scintillation is the twinkling that is induced by the wind that is coming out of the sun, and it causes things in radio waves to twinkle. So just like the stars twinkle at night, things in the radio waves will also twinkle. And these objects that are very, very far away, these are supermassive black holes at the centers of galaxies. And those things, they are small enough to twinkle, just like the stars twinkle at night, but the planets don't. It's the very, very small objects, the very central supermassive black holes that will twinkle, but not the large-scale objects that are around it, large-scale galaxy around it that will not twinkle.
Okay, no, I've never heard black holes being described as small before.
In the scale of things, a supermassive black hole is a very small compared to a galaxy. So in that scale, we're talking about small and large in that scale. And when we're talking in radio waves, the radio galaxies that we're talking about can be much, much larger than the galaxy that we see with optical light. So in that scale, the supermassive black holes, the emission coming out of it is very, very small.
So if our eyes were actually radio telescopes, antennas, I'm glad they're not, because we'd look very strange if they were. But if our eyes were radio telescopes, we would look up at the night sky and we would see the twinkling of black holes.
That is very correct. We don't need very sensitive eyes to see this twinkling, because there are some bright objects that twinkle, and then slowly as you have more and more sensitive eyes, you'd start to see more and more objects twinkle. These objects are not very many. They're not large numbers of them, so it's a great way of looking and finding these very, very compact objects out there. And these sort of, in a sense, these are the supermassive black holes that are currently active, in the sense that it is actually in the process of eating something.
So they're scintillating because of the solar winds, but does that mean that the objects themselves are very stable? It's just that the radio signals are shimmering around. Am I right?
That is correct, yes. The distant objects, we expect to find some level of intrinsic variability as well, but most of the time, at these time scales, a few minutes we're looking at, we're mostly, the time scale of twinkling is less than a second. At these time scales, we're talking about variability only due to interplanetary scintillation.
And why would you or anybody else want to be a twinkling scientist?
Because, for one, you can start to see these, understand these very, very cool objects called the supermassive black holes. Now, these big telescopes that we're building, sometimes they can't identify between these massive galaxies and these compact objects. And this gives us a way to identify them and study them, and that's one way to do it. And the other thing that it helps us to understand is, what is the solar wind like, for example? And so it helps us to understand the solar wind as well. And the third thing that we can also do is, if you can imagine, there is this twinkling business happening with multiple objects out there, and then every once in a while, the twinkling just changes drastically. There's a large amount of twinkling happening. So what's going on is some form of emission or ejection from material from the sun has gone past our field of view, and that tells us, hey, something like a coronal mass ejection has happened, and that helps us to understand how these coronal mass ejections change as they move across the interplanetary space as well. So those are the kind of studies that we can do.
And the coronal mass ejection, that's like when the sun has a big sneeze.
That's correct, yeah. There's a lot of material that is ejected. It's a very energetic process where lots of energetic material gets ejected out, and occasionally they come towards us and hit our satellites out there as well, and we have to be careful to protect them.
So lastly, just one last little question here. You mentioned solar wind. It's nothing like our wind, is it?
It's nothing like our wind in the sense that these are charged particles coming out of the sun, and they're traveling very, very fast, a few hundred kilometers per second sort of speed. In that sense, it's like a wind, but it's a constant wind coming out of the sun.
All kinds of things happening out there. I never knew about this scintillation. Thank you very much, Rajan Chetri, for telling us about this. And I must say I'm having a wonderful time here in Perth. So thanks very much, Rajan.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And for now, this is Ketchel Kirkham wishing us clear skies.